We have spoken many times over the years about powerful partnerships on our podcasts. They are an essential component to establishing resilient, healthy, sustainable communities globally, locally, nationally, you name it. Partnerships are the power of change. Today, we are taking an in-depth look at one powerful partnership at work. We'll get to see the value this partnership has and the actions that are being taken to support local schools, both inside and outside of the classroom. And if you are a reader of any sort, you know that our schools need support like this. The valuable partner we are highlighting today are doing their part to build a cleaner, greener community, and they're helping schools save money and energy along the way. Hey, everybody, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Impact Earth Energy. Welcome, one and all. Our guest today is Lynn Peterson. Lynn assumed the role of Senior Director of Customer Experience for Tucson Electric Power in February 2020. Are you ready for this? Everybody take a deep breath because I'm going to do the whole thing. She oversees the teams dedicated to customer satisfaction, improving the customer's journey, and business development for the UNS companies. In other words, she has lots of plates in the air every single day, and we are going to hear about some of them. So Lynn, welcome. I'm really happy to have you here. And just for kind of like for fun and giggles, I want to talk a little bit more about your scope of work because I was reading it and I thought, okay, she never sleeps. There's no question about it. So it's like, I'm happy to have you here, but just indulge me because I think I had fun reading it. So as I stated above, Lynn assumed that role of senior director in 2020. She oversees the teams dedicated to all of those things I said. Here's what that includes. You know, I throw these lines out sometimes and I'm like, yeah, do you want to know what's between the lines? This includes the contact center, billing, remittance, credit, collections, special plans, account management, economic development, customer research, emerging technology and innovation, and program management for energy efficiency, demand side management, renewables, distributed generation, and beneficial electrification. Take a deep breath. She is also responsible for customer advocacy and bringing a customer-centric lens to the table as key decisions are analyzed and made. It is very noteworthy that she joined TEP in 2015. Is that correct?
That's right.
Because there's these long-term people. Rarely have I had a person on this that said, I worked for TEP for a year. I don't think I've had anybody. But she served most recently as director and previously as senior customer relationship manager, strengthening relationships with key business customers, collaborating with community leaders, and driving towards greater organizational excellence. And what a success this has been. And I want to, I want to throw that in because your longevity with TEP on Unisource, it's not unusual. It speaks volumes about the company. That's what I say.
Oh, I agree. It's a fabulous company. I was so thrilled to be able to join them in 2015, and I'm happy to continue to be here for as long as I can.
You know, you can't fake that. People sit in this chair a lot from TEP, and we have off-record conversations, on-record conversations, off-air conversations. So I don't make this podcast 2 hours long. I want to start with the macro, an overview of the direct educational enrichment support that you provide to schools. With my personal gratitude, because our schools are so underfunded in Arizona, they need so much more help. And I have said this to many people, where would we be without TEP and other corporate sponsors that do so much to make things work and keep all the wheels on the bus literally going round and round? So what kind of programs are you doing in schools to support students on their journey?
You know, thank you for having me here and giving me this opportunity to talk about it. It's definitely something that we're very fortunate to be able to do and very proud of the work that we do. You know, for over 30 years, UNS Energy and Tucson Electric Power have worked to expand educational opportunities in both northern and southern Arizona. We do this through partnerships with the schools, with nonprofit groups, and then other community organizations. And I think the thing that I'll talk about the most is the way that TEP and UNS Energy is able to help teachers deliver, you know, really compelling lessons, things that are fun, that are engaging, and are exciting. Because we want students to get excited about those STEM fields, that science, technology, engineering, and math fields. And we want to ultimately help prepare them for living in our world, right? In our ever-changing world.
Rapidly changing world.
Rapidly changing. Yep. And to have opportunities in the energy field, right?
Hopefully that they will come and be little engineers. I don't mean little, but like, because I want to talk about your internship program also at the very end. But so, Lynn, when you're talking about providing services to teachers and that kind of content, I'm assuming that there is a STEM thread where you're planting seeds in the very young kids and carrying that thread through middle school and high school. Is that one of the ingenious conclusions I came to?
That is the perfect conclusion you came to. That's exactly right. You know, we start in elementary school. We start actually with second graders. And, you know, we look at that group and we say that they're the early adopters.
Yes.
And you know what? It's hard to remember what a 6 or 7 year old.
It's very hard for me to remember.
Very hard. You know, they're curious. They're just beginning to look at things and figure out how things work. And so, you know, they might ask themselves, when I flip the switch and the lights come on, how does that happen? So we go into their classrooms as special guests, and we're there for 2 days. And we have a curriculum that we call Safety Land. Safety Land is patterned after Candyland, the game.
Got it.
It's fun.
Who doesn't know
Candyland?
Right? And if you don't admit it.
Exactly. And the Candyland board looks like Tucson. So they're going through Tucson. And as they're going through Tucson, they learn how electricity is generated, how it gets distributed to the houses. They learn these fun words like substation and power lines and transformer. And then it moves into safety. Because let's face it, at that age, safety is so important. And it's important that they learn the hazards associated with electricity. So we teach them what happens when a Mylar balloon gets caught in a power line and there's a big fireball, right? That's one thing that can happen.
So much for that birthday party.
Exactly.
But that's not bad to raise that consciousness starting then, because how does a second grader know? Now they can say to their parents, Mom, Dad, we can't do that. It might cause a fire.
Exactly.
That's a perfect example.
Why don't you climb trees by power lines? Why is that a hazard? Don't do that.
Right.
You know, so we're just teaching them those hazards. And of course, at that age, we still also introduce them to the concept of renewable energy and energy efficiency. How can they conserve things? How can they turn off lights when they leave the room or turn off the TV when they're done with it? Because we're, and even at second grade, we're trying to teach them those concepts.
And Lynn, I have an almost 3-year-old granddaughter. My kids are teaching her concepts about stuff like that already. They get it. They're so much smarter. I'm sure they're smarter than I was at 3, but
me
so
too.
Much more aware. It's really incredible. So that is elementary. And then how do you accelerate or increase the challenge, so to speak, for middle schoolers? What's there?
Yeah.
Critical time in kids' development too.
Oh, it is such a critical time. And so there we go back into the classroom and we have these e-bikes.
That's right. I remember Betsy Boulding telling me about those.
They're so cool. They generate electricity, you know, and so consequently, we put up these different light bulbs, for example, and they see how much harder they have to pedal if they use an incandescent light bulb than if they use an LED.
Wow. So the light bulb goes on.
Yes,
did I really say that?
Seriously.
I should not have said that. We might have to get that out.
But it takes a lot more effort if you're, less effort if you're trying to power a fan and then they try to power air conditioning.
Whoa.
How much work does that take?
Can you really power an air conditioning on a bike?
If you pedal really fast.
What a difference. But when you think about all of the different learning modalities and emotional intelligence, the other one, it's speaking to so many ways that kids learn. all of the different ways they learn.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And we make a concerted effort to do just that. They also at this age learn the difference between non-renewable and renewable energy. And I found one particularly fact very interesting. We help students understand how many pounds of coal it takes to power an average house in Tucson. It's the same as a weight of an elephant, 9,000 pounds in a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? In 1 year.
And they can understand that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then they move to renewables, of course, and talk about how then if you have renewables, you'll save all of that coal and you won't be burning that coal.
What I always wish in these kinds of situations is that we were on video, because to see your enthusiasm and your smile and your face, this to me is illustrative of a lot of the people from TEP that have sat in that chair, because they love what they do, or they love what TEP does, or they love what they know somebody else in another department is doing. And I just want to emphasize how important it is. Again, I'm going to say that a lot, because schools need you. They really need you. And this kind of critical thinking is what a lot of what you're doing is not necessarily purported to be of high regard. I want to be careful here, but we're losing critical thinking from kids because of test scores. That's the truth. So this is critical thinking. They have to look and see and decide. And I also have to say, it's very interesting to me that as a utility company, and I say this with the utmost respect, I know you're trying to get away from coal. And to teach that to kids is high road. It's really high road, because you're a utility company and you're talking to them about the direction you're going and what's best for the planet. Okay, so what else do you cover in middle school? That's pretty cool. The bikes, the electric bikes, that's really good.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yeah.
And so you're right. We just try to give them this exciting, energetic way to get a feel for the amount of energy that it takes to power things, and then to encourage them to wonder about how they can be better stewards.
Right, great. Right. And the word I was looking for is multiple intelligences, because that's the way we all learn. And there's so many. And if you're not the kind of learner that is traditionally sitting in a classroom memorizing, it's really hard. And
yeah.
I have grandchildren that are really reflective of that. They didn't want to do that, so it makes it hard. Okay, what about high school? Because then it gets more intense, more future-driven. Kids are starting to think about, some kids start to think about in seventh grade, which is sad. But in high school, you're getting serious about, where am I going?
That's right. And, you know, the science topics get a little more serious. So this particular series we call Renewable Students, and it also delivers a multimedia experience. In fact, we utilize a smartphone right in class, teaching them the apps and where to go to get answers and to see other engaging videos or listen to engaging podcasts, right?
You have to show them the Sparky video.
We'll show them.
That's going to be part of your homework, Lynn.
Okay. I accept that readily.
Okay, so more advanced, even in terms of the
of
way
the
kids have and the kids learn. They learn from smartphones.
Yep, exactly.
That's the reality. So incorporating that just makes you an ally. Mm-hmm. It really is. You know, I have to ask this. Who comes up with the curriculum and decides what you're going to do? What team does that to know that it's age appropriate, grade appropriate, teacher appropriate? How do you decide that? And we're jumping ahead, but I'll come back to high school and what you're doing with Pima College.
No. That's perfect. We have a partner, E3.
Oh,
is
I love
our
them.
Yes. Okay. So
Neil and Company.
Yes. they help us.
They're the experts.
They are the experts, right?
Yep.
They know exactly what they're doing. We sit down, we work with them. They know what the goals are, and they deliver.
And they're a stellar organization. And you know what's funny? Think of how many times already we've talked about partnerships. It's just one of my favorite words. And very early on in the Mrs. Green's World journey, I don't have clients. I don't. I have partners, because everybody I'm working with has a shared vision, a shared intention, shared goals to have a sustainable, socially just planet. So that word is very impactful in my life. Even when it comes to marriage, you realize, oh, this is a partnership, give and take. I'm not always going to get my way. 47 years later, I'm still trying. So go ahead.
Well, you know, one of our values at Unisource Energy is to collaborate. And that's what partners are all about. We recognize that no single individual knows everything.
Right.
So go out.
Nor can they do everything.
No.
Right.
So go find those people that can help you. You know,
you do. It's in the Kool-Aid there. It's in the TEP Kool-Aid. I'm quite sure of it.
It really does.
So high school becomes more science-y.
Science-based. They really examine the why. Why is there a focus on renewables? So they look at the whole topic of greenhouse gases. They talk about climate change. And while even though you might, when you hear the temperature change, it might seem small, it has a huge impact. They talk about the severe weather events that we've been having, how the sea level is rising. So they really try to reinforce that concept of if you want change in behavior, you need to understand the why behind it. And then they start stressing the importance of renewables and the fact that renewables will always be available. We'll never run out of them.
That's the word renewable. It's, you know, you say it, it rolls off our tongue, but stop, everybody, press pause. The sun will come out tomorrow. I don't usually sing on the air. That's a good thing. But it's so true to think about. The wind will blow, the sun will come out, and the geothermal is probably going to be there for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So that's around. So that's really amazing, too. And I love the partner that you have. They're great and they're smart and they get it. And so you leave that part to the experts.
Yep.
through a wonderful funding partnership, but being very involved also.
Exactly.
It's not just here's the money. You guys are hands-on, and I love that. So what about college? Because I am a Pima College graduate and a U of A graduate, and I tried to take every single class I could at Pima because I loved it that much. It's so different than the U of A, and I love the U of A, but very different experience. So what do you do with Pima?
Let me talk about the ways we support Pima College and Community College, and then just know that what we do with Pima Community College, we do with other colleges across our territories, our serving
Wonderful.
Territory.
Okay.
But there's four great ways we really support Pima Community College. One is through their foundation, and ultimately then providing scholarships and funding for students to be able to go in general, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely makes a difference. The other thing with Pima County, that Community College, now that we're doing, is their electrical vehicle. They have electrical vehicle.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. Manufacturing.
Classes. Yeah.
Whatever. Maintenance. Yes.
It's just amazing, right? And it's so on point. And so we're supporting with infrastructure, you know, being able to provide rebates and discounts to the general population, and then helping them with their maintenance program. So it's it really is, once again, a great partnership, right?
Yeah, it is.
For both of us.
It's one of my favorite words.
Yep.
Okay, so that's Pima. Mm-hmm. The thing that I love about Pima is they are always working really hard. Like, they get the whole concept of socially just diversity, equity, inclusion, because their population is that, inherently that. And when I went there, I could barely afford the tuition, and it was next to nothing. I was, you know, we were newly married. I was not making a lot of money. My husband wasn't. And what a quality education I got there. Some of it, like big Jim Griffin, I'll never forget it. I wanted to be an anthropologist, a cultural anthropologist, because of the impact he had on my life. He changed my lens.
Yes.
He changed the way I saw things through a very different, broader, more accepting lens. So it was a chance for me to grow and expand my thinking. So I can't say enough about it. How do you incorporate environmental stewardship? Is there a specific, because that is what you're about, is working to be good stewards of the community. How do you instill that ethic?
You know, one of the things that we do to propagate that ethic is to help support the schools with their needs and help them become more energy efficient, or give them access to renewable assets. So,
got it.
You know, we have literally helped every school district in our territory in some manner. You know, whether that is through energy efficiency methods or by providing some type of solar structure. If you just look at the Tucson Unified School District, it has over 80 solar energy systems around
Tucson. And I do.
Tucson.
Because I'm Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Oh my God, that school has solar. That school has solar. And I love it when that school has solar and I'm going there and it's on covered parking. Yes. Because that's a double blessing.
Isn't it?
So yes, I do see them.
Yeah. And you know, all of their arrays allows them to offset 47% of their energy with Tucson Electric Power.
I mean, that is a big bill.
It is.
That is a big bill. When you think about cooling auditoriums, I've had people on that talk about their challenges and just fueling auditoriums. And the reason why we wanted to make this a national show, which we position it very differently, it goes to a very robust podcast listening audience back east, is because I always think someone might be listening to this driving in their car and they have a really great job at an electric company in Ohio, for example. There's ideas for cross-pollination, and maybe they're already doing it, but maybe there's an enhancement, or maybe they'll reach out to you. I always think about the bigger dream and the ripple effect for content that you're providing that is such an example for the private industry, because this is my belief. It's almost selfish, because we want good educated students. So why not invest in schools? TEP wants good, highly educated employees. And the way you do that is not by starting giving scholarships to the U of A. You start in second grade, as you and I know. So to me, my background is in education. So it was like reading this, I had a lot of smiles. The next question, I think it's a perfect segue, is what about what I saw, like when Kelly King started a green team, a Greenies, Gale Greenies, okay, out in Vail. What she heard a lot of is how the kids were really bugging their parents because it goes home. So does it cut both ways? Does it help parents learn about ways to save money and save energy? How do you touch the families? Because I'm sure you do. It has to, because what happens, kids come home and they love to say, Mommy, you're not supposed to be doing that. My teacher said whatever. What a way to learn. So what do you do in terms of that piece for it's not just what happens in school. What happens in school doesn't stay in school. It goes home and to other buildings and all that stuff. So what do you do on that end?
That is so true. You know, all of our lessons have a take-home component with them. So, you know, sometimes it's fun stickers. Sometimes.
Which all kids love, and so do some big kids.
Yes.
Moi. I want a sticker.
Exactly.
It's one of those things.
And there are workbooks that you can, you know, work through different lessons at home. And in fact, during the pandemic, we turned the curriculum that I was talking about, we moved it online.
Oh, wow. Thank goodness.
Oh, so it is available. It is available on YouTube. It is available on our Facebook channel. And what that means is that if you're homeschooling, that content is available for you. If you just want a fun project to do with your kids on a rainy Saturday, you have an education.
That's good for me to know.
Yes.
For my granddaughter.
Exactly.
Seriously. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so that's one way to bring that curriculum back into the house. Another project that we do that I think also really brings it back into the families is a poster contest.
Love it.
In our rural communities, we do a poster contest with third graders. And so it requires them to do some research. It requires them to use their
critical thinking.
Yeah. Yes. And then you use their creativity. And when they post all of those posters up on the gymnasium and there's a judging. One year I got to be a judge. That was super fun.
One year if you're looking for another person.
Mrs. Perfect.
Green. Okay.
And it's fun. And the parents come, you know, because they're so proud of their children. And the children are getting to show their parents if the parents didn't already help them with the poster.
Right.
You know, so it really becomes a family affair. So I think that's another great example of how we're able to bring families into things.
Especially in rural communities. And let's just put, you know, like put a hard stop on this. To me, what's the name of the event that I've been a judge at several times that STEM puts on where they have judges and it's the science fair, basically the statewide science fair. I can't remember the name of it, but STEM puts this on and it's not STEM. It'll come to me. It's okay that we lost it. I lost it. But when I judged, I couldn't believe what I saw. I really couldn't because I don't have young kids around me that are learning in school. And I think I got the fourth and fifth graders, or fifth and sixth, I'm not sure, to judge their science projects. First of all, some of them, I'm just going to say this, you could tell who the parents helped with. And that's just like so sad.
Yeah.
Because my parents didn't. They gave me all the tools I needed to do it, and then I had to do it. But anyway, they were still wonderful. And to see what these kids know and their level of awareness about things to be concerned about that are, to me, heavy duty for a fourth, fifth, or sixth grader, but they are thinking, they are worrying, they are solving, they are creating. So to me, it's, again, it's multiple learning modalities. And if you can involve the family, it's win-win, especially in rural communities where there's a lot of isolation for kids.
Exactly.
Distant between kids. So I'm going to kick myself for not thinking about what this is because I love it. It'll come to me, I swear.
Well, and you know, individual communities have those same types of science fairs or engineering fairs or science nights. And we frequently participate in those. Kids love it when the linemen come and they bring their giant truck.
Oh my gosh. And their belts and all of the stuff.
Yes.
I'm sorry, especially little boys, but we're hoping more little girls will get interested because that's a goal too.
Exactly. And they get to talk about their profession and the kids are interested, right?
Yes, like having a costume.
Exactly.
Yes.
And our linemen are so good. Then they pull out this this community that they've built on a big card or on a big piece of plywood, and they reinforce the safety concepts. They show what happens when the balloon gets in the lines. They show what happens if you were to touch something. So it's all reinforcing the same kind of content and curriculum
and
ideas.
And engaging.
Exactly.
Oh my God, so delicious. And it's SARSEF. That's what I was trying to think of as SARSEF. Thank you. They'll kill me if I don't remember that. But it's an amazing organization here that I know you help also. So are we complete with what the support systems are for the curriculum and the kids? We covered elementary, middle, high, Pima College, and the engagement. So I love that. I like to talk about the ripple effect. I just think it's another thing where we could never cover that in one show. But you do Pebble in the Pond work a lot. And I've written blogs about it, how just one person deciding to take an action is the pebble in the pond, and then the ripples start. Well, when it's a boulder or a bigger pebble in the pond, it inspired me to read about that work as well. And I think I knew a lot of it, but to see it all written up in terms of impact and then, the power of partnership. So tell us about some of them. I know, isn't STEM Amazing one? I love that. I don't know who thought that up, but it's very clever.
Isn't
it
a great name?
Yes, it is. Yes. It's STEM Amazing.
Yeah, so that is an organization that we support. It is a world-class professional development opportunity for about 120 pre-K to 12th grade educators here in Pima County. And they put on this great workshop. It's four three-day areas where they focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, right? The STEM topics. And they look at robots, computer programming, school gardens, the nature of science. And what it does is it provides training, but it also provides all of the supplies those teachers need to be able to go back and be successful in their classrooms.
And aren't they the lucky ones if they get picked?
Oh, yes.
It's pretty competitive. But the sad state of underfunded schools. I don't want to focus on that a lot because this is a positive show about what one organization is doing to help it. But to me, that makes it even more impactful and joyful because they need it. And I mean, can you imagine? I couldn't take being a teacher. I admit that. I just couldn't because I was educated to do it. And I thought, you have to show up every day and face a lot. And not that I haven't faced challenges in my life, but to me, it's one of the most noble, for me, highly respected professions, or as they are in charge of our future, which is our kids. So that's wonderful. So 120 every year?
Yep, every year.
And do you have it at some really nice place?
Well, sometimes in our auditorium, which
well,
is a really,
is
nice,
a really
place.
Nice place. It is a really nice place. And then you can go downtown because there's so many cool places there.
Exactly.
So that's awesome. And the supplies. So you're not giving them one crutch. You're
no.
giving them a way to walk. I love that.
I think there's, so this last, you know about our Go Green Awards.
I certainly do.
And I was actually...
And I'm so sad that Hutch and I can't host it anymore. It was one of my happiest days of the year.
Well, this last year, what we did is we went to each location and videoed.
I saw. We've featured some of those.
Isn't that cool?
It was very cool that you did that.
Well, and one of them was STEM Amazing. And so I got to go to the elementary school, Manzo Elementary, to give this award. And where we did it was at their agrovoltaic garden.
What is that?
Isn't that cool?
Yes, I want to know what that is. I mean, what is that even?
It's where the students learn concepts about sustainable methods to grow food and feed our planet. And it, you know, and they used solar structures, and they compared gardens and how they grew with or without those structures, and how that changed watering needs. And It was really, really incredible.
I know, again, I want the camera on us so we can see how enthusiastic we are. Well, maybe my next career, we'll have video in the studio. So that's another one. And then you also help the Arizona Science Teachers Association. Can you tell us about what you do with them? Because that's another important, just anything to support science.
Exactly.
Anything.
And their goal is to prepare STEM learners for success across the state of Arizona. And every single year, their training focuses on different aspects of teaching. So this year, the goal, they're going to have a three-day professional learning symposium, and it's to help teachers increase their understanding of science concepts concerning cause and effect.
Awesome.
Right? Like, just like
yes.
greenhouse gases,
yes.
right?
Yep.
And climate change, cause
yep.
and effect.
Yep, there it is. As simple as that. So the last one, and then I have really a lot more questions, but Tucson Values Teachers, it's just a great organization. So what type of help do you supply them? What types of support?
So we supply support so that they can help those early childhood educators in Southern Arizona with supplies for their classroom.
Simple, plain and simple, because
yep.
that's what they need.
Exactly.
You know, it's so funny. Like, I do talk about my granddaughter way too much. I know that, but that's okay. I'm a grandmother and it's my show. So she... Just the things that we do together and the things that she loves to do, since she was like, I don't know, since she could hold a pencil or a crayon, they like supplies. And grandma likes to get them for her. But chalk and crayons and construction paper, that's early learning. And to watch them and to have them draw a picture and, you know, everybody goes gaga and I put it up on the refrigerator, not knowing exactly what it is, but it's that modeling and the ability to have those things that helps kids get to the next step. So I don't ever want to put anybody on the spot, but if there's anybody that knows this, since you have 25 jobs, it's a very hard question for me to ask because of what I did for 30 years. People always wanted to know, like, what's your recidivism rate and what's your impact and what's the lasting systemic change? And I always said to those funders, if you give us money to conduct long-term research, which is what it takes to study all of those kids and where they are now 3 years later, we're trying to save the kid that's in our program and provide services. And that's the funding we have. And we track the best we can. And I mean that sincerely. If you're doing a good program for at-risk children, you're focused on the kids that are there and you're trying to give them this, what they need to succeed. But I just wonder, do you have a sense of numbers? Because think of all the things you mentioned. How many lives do you think you touch in a year? Do you have any idea?
We do.
And this was not a setup. I didn't know if you had the answer to that. So I'm like, I wonder if she knows what kind of numbers, because you're doing a lot and it matters.
It does. You know, we are able to go in and reach over 20,000 students when we go into the classroom in those three different grade levels. And
20,000
across
Arizona.
Think of
that pebble.
Every year.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then in addition, that curriculum that I talked to you about that is online or available for us to send you, we sent over 25,000 participants a workbook on electric safety, renewables, energy conservation, and it impacted 830 classrooms.
Wow.
And that was in 1 year as
wow.
well.
And what I think, because of my background, it was a big learning curve for me because we did not grow up wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. It was a stretch all the time. My mother stayed home, four kids. My dad worked in New York City, not a big, you know, six-figure income guy, I don't think. I never knew what his income was, but hard worker. And I still grew up with books and paper and supplies and pens. And we'd go, we didn't have Target. We had something called Family Circus. And when the school list came home, well, then I got out here and I worked with at-risk children and families. And also my sister-in-law is a teacher in a very, was in a high-risk neighborhood in Dallas, abject poverty. And for every family, you can't just send the list home because there's no money or there's no car to go get it, or it's going to mean no diapers for the baby. People, I don't think they consciously don't care, but they're not aware. I wasn't. I grew up in a family where those needs were met, and it was never shameful or embarrassing, which it is for kids that can't do it. Even shoes. I mean, I remember that working with kids at Pima County Adult Education, their families, buying shoes. It was just... everything is harder if you're making $8 an hour and have three kids. So I just think these kind of programs are so critical so that there's a much more level playing field. Is that a long diatribe on what where I was going with that?
Oh, but it's so true. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, warms my heart as an employee of UNS Energy is that the employees donate at the beginning of every school year. We typically partner with other, you know, other businesses in the community. So, for example, in Kingman, a company called Mission Bank is the one who takes the lead. But our employees bring boxes and boxes and boxes of supplies to Mission Bank to help students.
That's such, like, it blows my mind. Public-private partnerships.
Exactly.
I know our Rotary Club is involved, and we involved in a giving program that we have decided is going to be one of our main ones, and it's for the Center Against Sexual Assault, where they take kids that are little, mm-hmm. if they've been assaulted and all of that. So we do 50 backpacks a year, so the kids who are sometimes immediately taken out of their home, all of those tragic things, they have, we pack them, man. We pack them with pencils and pens and crayons and a little teddy bear and a blanket. All of those things age appropriate for kids that, you know, I got pencils. And to think that I would have to buy pencils for kids, yeah, you do. You do. So I'm going to go back and see. We all give. But the feeling when we stuff those backpacks, you talk about, there's your reward, kiddo. You don't have to look any farther. This feels so good. And the kids love them. First of all, they're new. They're not hand-me-downs. It's a beautiful backpack. So stuff like that really matters. Okay, so thousands of lives are impacted because it's impacting those kids and their families and their siblings, which is never in the count. That's what I'd say to them. What do you know? Their three little brothers and sisters aren't in the juvenile justice system. How do you count that? You know what I mean? So it's that ripple effect. So because of all that you do, what are some of the biggest challenges? Is one, and I'm going to answer the question, I'm doing this, I'm sorry, is you must have so many demands. I just know through your grant process, having been in the nonprofit sector, it's overwhelming what you get asked, and someone has to sit there, or someone sit there and decide who gets what. What are some of your biggest challenges? Because I'm not making a joke. You have a lot of experience with a lot of different parts of DEP and Unisource. So what are some of the biggest challenges? Is it funds? Is it finding enough partners? What do you see? Because I'm sure there are some.
You know, I think that when it comes to our giving, we do a good job of having our pillars and
yes.
knowing what areas we're going to focus on. And, you know, and I think that that is so key to overcoming the challenges, having a focus, knowing where you can really make a difference in a given year. And so it is, the challenge is then sticking with your focus, right?
Yes, because you want to do other things.
You do.
That's a great answer. You know, my first interview, I think maybe with TEP, Paul Bonavia sat in my studio and said, I'm at the international headquarters of Mrs. Green's World. So Paul Bonavia... is that where, like I always say, pace of the leader, pace of the team. And what I feel, not see or hear about, what I feel from TEP employees is most of them, because I don't know all of them. How many are there?
2,000.
I don't know all 2,000, but I probably know a couple hundred, is that they do go out and pick buffalo grass, beat bat buffalo grass. They volunteer, which I would rather poke a sharp stick in my eye than do that. And I had to go and clean the wash with my rotary a couple of weeks ago. And I was cracking everybody up. I said, you know, I think I was Cleopatra in another life. I would have been brought in here and supervising this. I hate picking up this garbage. And the bag's too heavy. And of course, my Rotarian friends are saying, Wendy the whiner, just shut up and put stuff in your bag. But that kind of work is, I don't like it, but I do it. And beating back buffalo grass. So my point is, TEP employees don't just write checks and bring supplies. They show up for some of the hard stuff that I'm really glad they do. Wendy Erica Warden.
She's wonderful.
She is wonderful. She shows up with her cowboy boots and her long, lean, lovely legs. Not that I hate her. But it's wonderful to see people and boots on the ground and really giving. Habitat for Humanity, Build Days, all of those things that are real contributions in addition to the company writing a check.
That's right.
That's what matters.
No, it does. And it's part of the culture. It's part of who we are. And when you join, you get even more enthused because all around you, you see your coworkers doing the same thing. And if you have a passion and you bring it to the team, it's a really good chance that other people will share that same passion and join in with you.
Yes, we're doing an event, the first time in Tucson ever, on April 16th. It's a zero waste event. And they have it in Tempe. And it's run by the public works people up there. This is City Department of Environmental and General Services. And what we're hoping is to get thousands of pounds of clothing donated, e-waste, flags, medicine. We're going to have a shredding station, all licensed, to encourage people to get rid of all that stuff out of their garages, but don't just throw it in a dumpster. Bring it and it will be repurposed. Goodwill figures out how to use almost everything they possibly can. And they're one of our partners that's working on it with us. And Christina Paulsgrove is the queen of recycling. I just call her. She's like on speed dial. Can you recycle this? Somebody asked me and I don't know. And I'm Mrs. Green. But again, powerful partnerships for the greater good. So Alyssa Gutierrez is been in constant touch because we need volunteers that day. So who's the first person I called? TEP, one of my partners, and said, do you think you can get volunteers? And it's on a Saturday, and I like my Saturdays, but it's going to be hot, I'm sorry to say, probably. I don't know. It's maybe. I get the whiny voice. I hear my voice going down. It's like, it's going to be hot, probably. But I do live in Tucson, so I would expect that for the summer. But that's the spirit. She goes, oh my gosh, you know, we would love that. And unfortunately, we only need 15. They could come up. TEP can come up with a lot more than that, even on a Saturday. So we're going to do a training, but it works also in my life. So back to the challenges, too many needs and not enough people, not enough money, not enough time. But so what? Look at what you're doing. Look at what is done. That's what I say. And there's always going to be those needs. But what I like to bring that up for is other people that are in businesses, no matter how big or how small your company, you can do something. Like I work with small green teams for small companies, like under 40 employees. And one of the things I start with is the obvious, the energy saving, you know, recycling, all of those things. And then I think, and I mentioned essential part of a sustainable and socially just community is how does this team want to foster a spirit of giving back? Because that changes a culture. Your body language and your enthusiasm and your smile, that's illustrative of someone that gets excited about where they work. And I'm sure you impact teacher retention, and I'll give you time to answer that. I'm sure that you do. I don't even have to know anything. You do. And I know that in green teams, like our longest one is the Chapman Cares team, if you're doing title insurance all day in a cubby, and then you get to come to a green team and talk about painting bells for Ben's Bells and going to a home build on Saturday they actually did it for us on Sundays, and being the watchdog for the recycling in your department, it makes you feel more part of a community where you work and then the community at whole. So do you have any numbers on helping with teacher retention?
We do. You know, we see an unbelievable 90% increase in STEM teacher retention rates.
You're kidding.
No. When they participate in these programs.
That's bold and unbelievable.
Yeah. They get support. They get encouragement. They have exciting,
instead of discouragement.
Fun, yes.
Yes.
Curriculum.
Yep. So I would assume that when you're talking about funding, we have a lot of charter schools in Arizona, not all adequately funded. Some taking kids that are harder to place. There's to me pros and cons to charter schools. So does that fall? The public charter schools, are those among the schools that you help?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because that matters too. I mean, I know that some of my friends have kids or grandkids mostly that the traditional learning classroom, which is so outdated that it doesn't work. I mean, and I can already tell you, my granddaughter is going to be one of those kids. She is not going to sit behind a desk, and my daughter's on it. She's not going to sit behind a desk. She's going to something now called the forest school, where they have chickens, goats. She's going to be three.
Oh.
Chickens, goats, ducks. They build forts. She told me, we built a structure, Grandma. And so that's her hands-on learning. And she's so smart, and she pretty much reads, even though she doesn't know the words, she reads books. But outdoor and active and engaged learning, that's what that kid's going to need. If they tell her to sit down and fold her hands at her desk, I said, Em, you're in for quite a run. But STEM education, the things you're doing, address that. Riding the bike, seeing the fan, having the light bulb go on. And now I'm going to ask a stump the guest question. Going back to, I don't understand how anybody could have an incandescent light bulb in their home. And with all of the things that you look over, so don't get nervous. It's like, is that wave continuing? Because I had to get talked into it, because in the beginning, the LED bulbs, is that what they were for a second? They were not bright enough.
The CFLs, maybe.
CFLs.
Yeah.
See, I can't even remember. That's so yesterday. We switched to CFLs. Well, LED lights are magnificently, shockingly cooler. If you're sitting next to a light in the summer, you don't get any heat off it, which helps with your electric bill. It helps with your comfort. So what do you see in that regard? Is there still a demand? Are you still helping to supplement the cost for some of those? Like, I got mine, I think, at Lowe's or Home Depot, and it was TEP stickers all over the place to make it affordable again. That affordability factor, I could have bought it. I know that I'm blessed. I never take it for granted. But some people, it's a lot more than an incandescent. I don't even know if they sell those anymore.
Not as much anymore as they used to, for sure.
Thank goodness.
That's right. But yes, we continue to subsidize.
Subsidize. That's the word I was looking for.
The yes. LED lights. And in addition, many times when we're out at events, we'll bring light bulbs with us. And so if there are families that still need LED light bulbs, we want them to have them. Instead of your traditional maybe 60 or 75 watts for an incandescent, 9 watts.
It's unreal.
It is absolutely unreal.
And you will save money on your electric bill.
I guarantee
you, especially. And it's funny, even here still, with a highly evolved family, I think, because they have Mrs. Green in the house all the time, I constantly go around and turn off lights. It blows my mind. It's annoying. It's like, no, turn the light off. And that was from my mother, who said, turn the lights off.
Yep.
You don't need to waste electricity.
Well, even ceiling fans. People have the misperception that ceiling fans cool a room. No, they just move the air so you feel cooler.
Right. So when you walk out,
please
turn them off. And the other day I came in here into the studio and it was really warm. It was warmer than the other rooms in the house. Well, we had been doing work. 2 computer monitors were on overnight. The room was noticeably warmer. Because the heat was, I went, what the heck is with this room? And I looked over and both of those monitors were on because they put out some heat. Even if you go to lunch, I close my computer now. If I'm not using it, I'm closing it because it uses less electricity. So here's the shocking part. We're almost finished. And I told you. It's like I can have so much fun here. And I think I'm going to I think maybe I talked a little bit too much. I hope not, but I'm so enthusiastic having you here that it's contagious for me to have someone that's so joyful about what they're doing. And I'm a pretty big, wonderful, admiring partner of TEP. So is there anything that you wish I had asked that we didn't cover? Because we are going to end with the wonderful acknowledgement you got, which to me speaks volumes. When you get outside recognition from a company that you have nothing to do with, really, you're not funding it, it's clean, clean recognition. And we'll end with that. But what is there anything else that you, like a plug or something I forgot and say, Gina, I put that in the notes, please.
No, I would just say that, you know, all of those, the tips that you just gave, turning off lights, turning off ceiling fans, turning off computers, looking for those little energy.
The phantoms.
Phantom
yes. Electricity.
Anything you can do to help reduce the load is just an excellent thing to do. We live in a very hot climate. And even if you're, some of your listeners don't live in a very hot climate, it's still super important.
It is, because energy is energy. And if we're consuming it, it matters. I agree with you. It doesn't matter. And our listeners are all over the place. I'm sure Dave is not worried about putting his fan on in Beckett, Massachusetts today. He's more worried about putting on his jacket because it's cold. It's blowing my mind that we're in March and it's going to be 95, but no whining. So let's have a very happy ending for a content-rich show. You have good news about a recent national recognition that TEP received, and I want you to tell us about it because it made me really happy and proud.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to brag a little. You are so right. TEP was just recognized by the Edison Electric Institute. This is the electric industry's think tank, and they're an advocacy group located in Washington, D.C. And this year, we received the Advocacy Excellence Award.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. How did they let you know? Did you who heard? And did you get to go there, or was it COVID, so you can't go get the award? Accepting this award.
No, our CEO, Susan Gray, happened to be in Washington.
Yes.
And so she went, you know, that was one of her stops, obviously. And she received the award at a banquet.
How awesome.
So it really was. It was so... It's so special. It means so much. It tells us that the work that we're doing with STEM education, with the children, with the teachers, really does
somebody
make
noticed.
A difference.
Somebody
yes.
noticed. And I'm sure rigorous standards to be able to receive that award. Oh. I'm sure they do their vetting to see who's going to get it.
Definitely. We competed with all other investor-owned electric utilities across the entire country.
Competitive. And I think that it's really good always in these shows for people that do live in Tucson or around the state that listen to this. You've got a great website, and you really do. And I look at a lot of websites in my role, and it's user-friendly. The search bar really does work. So a lot of these programs and rebates and information about energy savings and the way that you want to get your bill, because I'm going to look into time of use. I haven't done that yet because we're just new to this house, but I think that's going to be great because we can do our laundry anytime because I work from home. I can throw it in and do a show and then go get it. You know what I mean? So we're going to look into that to see what happens. So I just want to say, I sometimes write a very long goodbye and get very emotional, but this one's just from the heart. I mean, I was working on it this morning and I thought, you have done so much TEP and so many jobs and have lots of plates in the air. And I just want to thank you and honor you for that because it matters to have people that care like you do. And I had no idea your passion and your enthusiasm and your joyfulness would come through in talking about us. And it did. I mean, I assumed since you really are doing a lot, they didn't put some loser that doesn't know how to speak on the radio up there. Sorry for that. But it was just to me incredibly affirming, not just the content, but the person who delivered the message. And I want to honor you for that. It really matters who sits in those chairs for me. And this was a really great interview. And I thank you and honor you for what you're doing.
Thank you. And thank you for your kindness. That's very much appreciated.